Welcome to the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast series, episode 5. I'm your host, Conal O'Moran. Love Irish Food is dedicated to sustainable and local Irish food and drinks brands, supporting the many, many thousands of local jobs and communities that depend on the Irish food industry. Do visit loveirishfood.ie for a full list of your local brands. In this series, we're looking at topics affecting the Irish food industry, ranging from the shop local movement, funding, selling online, digital marketing, and so much more. We have exceptional food and drink talent lined up to give you their tips, insights, and knowledge, and all of that in just 30 minutes. Joining me today are two people most people in the food industry will recognise immediately. Maeve Martin is editor of Checkout magazine, Ireland's food and drink Bible, you might say. Indeed, the Checkout Top 100 Brands is the most anticipated grocery retail publication of the year and is regarded as the definitive guide to Ireland's biggest and best-selling brands, making it a must-read for anyone in the food industry. The findings are also top secret ahead of publication, and we are podcasting this before publication, but I will do my best to winkle some hints out of Maeve, who joins me online. And in studio, I have Kieran Rumley, nowadays Executive Director of Love Irish Food, but who previously was Marketing Director at Bachelors, amongst other brands. You're both most welcome. Maeve, can I start with you? You're not going to tell me, but I'm going to ask. What can you tell me about the findings from this year's Checkout Top 100 Brands?
Well, the findings from the Top 100 Brands this year have been extremely positive for most brands, but particularly for Irish brands. And I suppose it's not surprising because I think in times of difficulty, consumers tend to rely on their old favourites. They rely on the brands that they know, that they can trust, and that they have a loyalty to. And I think we've seen over the past 18 months that there has been increased take-up and increased sales of Irish brands. I think the pandemic has certainly benefited Irish brands, and people have come to rely on them. And as a result, they've performed extremely well in the Checkout Top 100 Brands, which we produce in association with Nielsen IQ. So, you know, it's been particularly interesting to see so many Irish brands among this year's biggest movers. For example, we have Wonder brand Vithit, which a lot of people would be familiar with. And that's leaped up the rankings by 25 places this year to number 43 from number 68 in 2020. We have another highly successful Irish brand, Stafford's Bakeries, and it rises an impressive 24 places from number 86 to number 62. And then, of course, this family-run brand, Kyo's. Many people will be familiar with Kyo's Crisps. They entered the top 100 in 2018 at number 96. And they are rising 23 places from number 93 to number 70 this year. So, you know, Irish brands are continuing to do well, both established brands and some of the newer brands that have come on the market in recent years. And they haven't just been making their mark in our top 100 brands list. We also have we also list the top 100 grocery retail categories in Ireland as well. And the Irish brands, you know, a lot of well-known Irish brands are making their mark in the categories as well. A lot of them are also newcomers to some of the top 100 categories. For example, Kyo's are a new entrant in popcorn, the popcorn category. We have the Happy Pear in chilled pizza. We have Kyo Hands in frozen prepared fish products and Chicken with Attitude in frozen prepared poultry products. So, you know, it has really been a good couple of years, actually, for Irish brands.
Kieran, perfect intro to you on that, because is it the work of Love Irish Food or what are we seeing? It's a big trust issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've come from a situation of trust, if you like, but COVID sort of brought the whole local messaging to everybody's doorstep. There was a sense that there were people were being restricted in terms of their movement, where they could go, how far they could go. And local became in two aspects. One was, how far can I go to the shop? Or do I even want to go that far at all? I'll shop in the village. And so you had a resurgence of convenience retailing outside of the major urban areas, taking a regrowth. And then you had sort of local in terms of the national, sort of the sense of how can we support what is local, what is up the road, what is locally produced. So if you like, you know, COVID gave us two aspects, two definitions to the local message.
I can see this whole trust thing as being very important, because what during a COVID, during a pandemic, obviously we didn't have one before, but there were fundamental questions being asked about who or what can I trust?
Yeah. And I suppose that's to the heart of what Love Irish Food's about, because Mabe's talking about Irish produced brands, and we're Irish produced. Sorry, Mabe's talking about Irish brands, but we're talking about brands that are owned in Ireland, but also produced in Ireland, and that use local ingredients where they're available. And that distinction is very important when it comes to trust, because people want to know what is actually locally produced here. Do people source locally? And, you know, that's very significant to them in terms of the whole sense of trust. And then there's another aspect, another dynamic coming into it, which is sustainability. You know, why should we be supporting, if you like, brands that come halfway across Europe to our door, you know, when they're generally available on the doorstep? You know, water would be a great example of that. You know, why should we truck water all the way from Italy to Connemara, you know, when just down the road in Limerick, there's a great brand, Ballygowan? So, you know, there's that sustainability has a whole new meaning as well, and that brings it back to local.
Maeve, would you be able to talk me through the actual, the way that the surveys are carried out? Do you prompt people with brands, or do you, what were the questioning methodology, so that I'd understand where are these people's brains when you're asking the question?
Well, the top 100 brands is in association with Nielsen IQ. So Nielsen IQ would carry out the research, and it's based on branded value sales across the Irish grocery sector. So, you know, that makes it the most accurate barometer of the biggest selling brands in the marketplace. So when they're putting the report together, Nielsen IQ would measure the sales performance of over 5,000 brands from over 200 product classes. So it's extremely comprehensive. And, you know, that's really how the survey is carried out.
That's serious competition, 5,000 brands. And yet, what you said earlier is that the Irish brands, some of them, are managing to get up there. What you didn't say, though, have we seen Irish brands slip down as well?
We have seen some slippage. You know, there's an inevitable up and down with both Irish and non-Irish brands. But I mean, for the most part, it has been extremely positive for Irish brands. You know, they've done very well in the top 100, and they generally tend to perform well. But, you know, as I said, I think in the past couple of years, it's been particularly positive. And a lot of that has been driven by the pandemic and changes in consumers' shopping habits. I mean, just to pick up on something that Ciarán was saying about sustainability, I think Irish brands, some of them I've mentioned that have done well in the top 100, and others that we've profiled in the Meet the Makers series, have been at the forefront of the sustainability agenda in Ireland in recent years. And they've put, I think that's because they've put sustainability at the heart of their operations, whether it's using renewable electricity, whether it's sourcing as much as they can ingredients locally, and, you know, employing people locally, because I think consumers are beginning to make the connection between local sourcing, buying, shopping locally, sourcing locally, and local employment. So I think brands have embraced every aspect of sustainability. It's no longer just something that's trendy, or it's good to say that you're very supportive of it, or it's part of your CSR. I think over the past decade, really, brands, particularly Irish brands, have put it at the very heart of what they're doing. And I think consumers, as a result, are beginning to make the connection between being sustainable and actually helping to create employment in the country and local employment. So I think they're seeing that their economic, it's not just something that's good to do for the planet and good to do for the environment, it's actually good for the economy. And it's good for people's health. And I think that message has really gotten through over the past 18 months. You know, and we're even seeing it in terms of the categories that have become popular. I mean, there's definitely a pandemic effect with some of the categories that have performed well in the top 100.
For example, can I ask?
Well, the biggest jump that was made in the categories would have been health functional drinks, which is one of our top 100 categories. And it's risen by a phenomenal 27 places from the number 87 position in 2020 to number 60 this year. And I suppose that isn't surprising. I think consumers have been trying as hard as they can to improve their health. You know, health and wellness has been a big trend over the past decade, a growing trend. But over the past 18 months, I think there's been a particular focus on boosting immune systems. And so I think that a lot of that has fed into the popularity of products in that category. Another example will be hair colorants. that last featured in our top 100 in 2014. And that was it's our second highest mover. It's risen by no fewer than 25 places from outside the top 100 last year. So, and I suppose that's because hair salons were closed for long periods of time during 2020 and into 2021. So it isn't surprising that this category has re-entered the top 100 and, you know, simultaneously shot up the rankings. And then you've got categories like that focus on personal hygiene and health, like liquid soap, special dietary products, vitamins and minerals. You know, these are all categories that have risen by 9 places in the rankings. And we've other big risers as well, I suppose, that reflect the fact that we're spending more time at home than ever before. Dishwasher products rises from number 68 to 58, and powder baking products also rises by 10 places from 99 to 89. So, you know, we can see the pandemic effect, not just in the brands and in people's embracing the old reliables and embracing brands that they can trust and that they know will provide consistent quality. But we can also see it in the categories that have made big leaps up the rankings.
And Kieran, Maeve mentions there the pandemic effect. I think I'll be gentle and I'll say you're a veteran of the food industry. You have seen fads, you have seen trends come and go. What's your gut about whether we will stay trying to be healthy post-pandemic? Because hopefully it will be post-pandemic.
I think the immediate aftermath, we'll see people continuing to look to health. And mind you, that is balanced off by treats as well. You know, there's been a sort of a very significant support for treats there. But health and well-being, whether it's health and well-being of your body, your mind, whatever, are very significant and I think will continue over the next number of years. But one of the things that's inevitable, I think, is the sense of support for what is local and really understanding, as what Maeve was saying there, what defines local. And that sense of local production, local sourcing, and that's what Love Irish Food's all about. It's that sense of, you know, having a community of brands that employ people, provide a reason for them to stay in their locality rather than drift to Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Galway, and have a robust community. And Love Irish Food is very much focused on that whole part of sustainability, because sustainability is not just about whether it's environmental or whatever, you know, it's about community as well.
You are listening to the Love Irish Food podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.
You and I are both long enough in the tooth that we have been through not one, not two, probably a lot of recessions. And one of the things that happens during a recession is that people go for value. And value sometimes comes in cheap packaging, cheap food, cheap imports. We could face post-pandemic some form of a recession, mightn't be a big recession. Is that a concern?
Well, the distinction between what's happening now and what happened in 2009 is really the effect of the government intervention in the whole equation. By injecting 40 billion into the economy, the government, if you like, floated a much firmer base of business to enable a recovery. We have distinctly high unemployment still. Although, listen, you know, if you were passing by food service or whatever, you'd say can that be real? Because people are screaming out for it. We see the government, you know, saying, look, trying to entice builders and tradesmen back from abroad. Will the unemployment go back to 4.9% very quickly? Probably not so quickly, but I think we're much better positioned for a recovery this time around than heretofore. But people will play their part in that. Choppers will play their part in all of that. And our message going out to shoppers from this autumn will be, look, you know, by just switching two items into your grocery basket, a grocery basket will contain about 77 items every week. But just two of those items, 2.5%, will contribute about 300 million into the food economy. That's huge, and that will help production, and that will help employment, and that will help cement communities.
And again, what you're talking about there is local, local, local. It's so important. Maeve, on the analysis that you're doing there, anybody listening obviously wants to be number one in their category and or number one brand. Any hints for next year? Because obviously this year is done and dusted. And how to creep up the ranking?
I actually believe, I mean, I refer to it, I think, when we were talking earlier about the Meet the Makers series that we ran in the magazine, in Checkout magazine, in conjunction with Love Irish Food, where we profiled key members of the Love Irish Food organisation. And, you know, many of them household names that people will be very familiar with. And, you know, that gave me some incredible insights into what they're doing, and particularly on the sustainability front. And, you know, I'm talking about the likes of Flahavens, Rye River Brewing Company, Britvic Ireland, Cali Cali, O'Donnell's Crisps, Keelings. These are all, you know, blue chip companies in terms of the quality of the food and drink that they're producing, and in terms of the contribution that they're making to their communities that they operate in, and to the Irish economy, the wider Irish economy. So if you look at what they're doing on the sustainability front, I think that that has been crucial to the success that they've enjoyed. And I think it has made a huge contribution to the sales that they've been able to achieve in store. I mean, these are brands that are well known. Some of them will be a bit newer to the market than others, but they would have very strong name recognition. But, you know, that isn't enough, I think, to keep a brand viable and to ensure that a brand is successful. And I think what they're doing with their products in terms of reducing or eliminating plastic in their packaging, in terms of embracing renewable energy drive their production processes, in terms of ensuring that as much as possible of their ingredients are sourced locally, employing people locally. I think all of that, as I said earlier, is getting through to the consumer, and they are making the connection. And I think that's a huge part of why these brands are so successful in the Irish market and will continue to be successful. And I think that any brand that's operating in the health and wellness, which is a huge sector, there's so many sectors within that: health, functional drinks, vitamins, minerals, any brand that is operating within that space and in the sort of immune boosting space is going to do well going forward. And something else that I think is going to contribute to the success of brands, and Ciarán touched on it as well, is this premiumization, the trend towards premiumization, which was there prior to the pandemic, but it has also benefited during the pandemic as well. And it has sustained itself. And I think it will continue as well. People are looking for quality and they want to treat themselves. And, you know, last year we witnessed a big transition to in-home food and drink consumption, and that's continued into this year. And I think it'll remain until we have an open economy. So I think that is a definite trend in both food and drink, that people will continue to want to, whilst they're overall more and more people are embracing a healthier lifestyle, they will want to treat themselves and have that little treat at home as well. And they're prepared to pay a price for that.
Here's something left of field for you, Ciarán. Any Irish brand wants to become hugely successful and probably go overseas and take on the world. When, at what stage does an Irish brand no longer remain an Irish brand in the sense of these massive names that we know from international? Many people wouldn't even know where they began life.
Yeah, I suppose we tend to embrace and keep close to us brands that we grew up with, whether they have been sort of local to that region, you know, the Waterford Blah, or whether they have been tremendous international successes like Kerrygold. But they're treated with the same respect locally. They tend to be viewed as my brand. And the distinction about whether they're successful in Australia or, you know, New Zealand is not going to be a significant factor. It's the fact that that's the brand that I grew up with. That's the brand that we use every week in our shop or in our shopping. Yeah,
that's why I'm asked to send Ballymaloe over to Australia to a young lady over there. In terms of the success of Irish Foods, is there anything else that you would love? You've mentioned obviously switching, simple thing, just switch. Anything else that you would say to people? Please do this.
Just think about. Don't assume that when you read a label or recognize a brand that you think straight off, that's produced here. Just have a greater look at where it's produced. And the only way you can be really sure, I think, is to look for that Love Irish Food heart label on the back. Because if you see that on the back, you can be guaranteed that it's a food that's produced locally, that employs people locally, that sources locally. And that's what we mean by a real local brand.
And Maeve, if I can ask you in terms of Irish brands about trying to grow the business, the food business here in Ireland, it must be good times for you at Checkout Magazine, because we seem to be, if I'm correct, in quite a healthy state with Irish brands.
Yes, we are in a healthy state with Irish brands. And, you know, there's a lot of innovation taking place as well out there. You know, Irish brands are being quite courageous. I'm talking about, you know, newer Irish brands that have come on the market in recent years. And they've been extremely innovative and courageous in terms of their products that they're bringing to the market and also in terms of their packaging. I mean, there's some phenomenal, very creative packaging out there as well. Which is extremely important to achieve standout on shelf. But, you know, there is a lot of creativity going on. And I think, you know, it goes back to the quality of ingredients that we have available on the island, you know, and our unique grass-fed landscape. I think that, you know, there's a lot of really good quality ingredients there that brands have been able to benefit from, particularly new brands. And so, yeah, I think it's a very, very good time for grocery retail. And I think the grocery retail industry has, you know, obviously there's been a very high volume of transactions over the past 18 months, but it's still an extremely competitive industry. You know, it is extremely competitive and it will remain, I would say, it'll become even more competitive as we enter into what I would say is inevitably a recession of some description over the next couple of years. But I think Irish brands are very well placed to deal with that and to respond to the challenges that will inevitably pose.
And you did say, Maeve, on your research or the Nielsen research that health foods and health-related foods have climbed up very sharply. I'm just wondering, for those who may be just starting into the food business, what categories would you suggest that they would look at? Fine if they have Mammy's Best biscuits, the recipe, but if they were looking for some opening, some opportunity, where would you guide them to?
Well, I think categories, for instance, milk and milk alternatives, you know, with an emphasis on milk alternatives, I think that's an area that people are particularly interested in and are embracing more and more. And of course, the vegetarian, you know, we have a vegetarian fresh meals category. So I think, you know, vegetarian foods and vegan is really expanding and people are beginning, you know, the health benefits are well known of embracing a vegan or a vegetarian diet. And a lot of people, there's a lot of demand for product in that space. I think there's also quite a lot of demand for, you know, high protein, high nutrition meals and ready meals. Because, you know, despite the fact that everybody is supposed to have started baking with a vengeance during the pandemic, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, embracing home cooking. There's a lot of people who still don't want that, but at the same time, they want to embrace a healthy lifestyle. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for companies in the freshly prepared, ready meals area. you know, I still think there's scope there. You're seeing a better quality coming through in that category, but I think there's scope for people who want to enter that category and bring something different to it. And of course, in terms of functional drinks as well, that's an area that's growing. And there's a lot of interesting things happening. So that might be a sector that people would look to get involved in.
I have to laugh at the idea of functional drinks. I'm old enough to remember when Guinness was prescribed by doctors, to women postnatal, to build up their iron. Yeah. That was a functional drink before it was even known. Kieran Romilly, I'm going to ask you the same question. Where would you guide young, budding entrepreneur, food entrepreneurs?
Yeah, we have a very interesting collaboration with UCC at the moment, and with one of their postgraduate programs on the whole area of food development, where UCC postgrad students are collaborating with Irish producers within Love Irish Food, and there's a lot of shared learnings there. But one of the things that's recently emerging is, as Maeve alluded to there, the whole vegan area. We have, for example, yesterday I saw, for example, that East Coast Bakehouse have launched a whole vegan range of biscuits at Taste over the weekend. Equally, we had a new member join there in the past number of weeks, Planted. Fascinating story with a huge investment and a very, very ambitious target for growth. So, you know, that whole health and well-being area is the area, I think, where you're going to see the greatest level of growth.
Maeve, you probably aren't going to tell me, but the overall winner, if you can't give me a name, would you hint at what area that they might be in, the number one brand?
Well, I can tell you who the number one brand is, and it's probably not a massive surprise. The number one brand for the 17th year in a row, believe it or not, is Coca-Cola.
Okay. And then can you tell me the number one Irish brand?
The number one Irish brand would be Tato.
Well done, Tato.
Great Love Irish Food member.
Yes. And it's had an interesting journey because last year it moved into the top five. It was in to claim the third place spot. And it had ranked sixth in 2019. This year it rises further to the number two spot. So it's kind of pushed dairy milk down to the number three position.
Well done. So, listen, I'm going to wrap it up at that because we've taken up a lot of your time. That's really interesting. I know who I'm talking to, people in the industry, but from an outsider looking in, it does strike me is that something very good and very positive is happening in the industry. Final words, Maeve?
Yes, I think something very good and positive is happening, and notwithstanding the pandemic, you know, I don't think the pandemic has stood in the way of that, which is great. You know, it's not a case of all of the innovation and creativity that was happening, particularly in the sectors that myself and the sectors of the market that myself and Kieran have spoken about, the sectors within health and wellness. None of that has come to a standstill. It has continued despite all of the challenges of the past 18 months. So I think that's very positive. And I think we're going to see continued innovation, some very exciting innovation in the food and drink area in particular, over the coming months and years. So I think it's a great time to be in the grocery retail business.
Kieran, final word to you. Something really good happening out there?
Yeah, we have our members provide 12,000 jobs, which is a remarkable figure in itself. But I do think what we're seeing is the going from strength to strength of generational family food producers. And we see that in our membership, and new company startups are really important. But the backbone of it is very much family companies, and we're seeing that. And I think that will continue, and that will provide the energy for growth in the future.
Great, that's all a very positive note on which to end. So my thanks to Kieran Romilly, who is Executive Director at Love Irish Food, and Maeve Martin, thank you so much, editor of Checkout Magazine. Continued success. And thank you so much for joining us on the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast. Do listen back to all of the others. There should be six in total at the moment. Thank you so much for listening.
The Love Irish Food podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.